We've just listened to the account of the transfiguration of Jesus in Mark's Gospel. Luke and Matthew also record this momentous event, and so I shall be using material from each of their accounts. Just before this great event of the transfiguration, Jesus had taken his disciples to the region of Caesarea Philippi in the north of the land. And there, when he asked them the straight question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter burst out with a wonderful reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, 6 days later, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to the top of a mountain. These are the same three that he will take with him when he heals Jairus' daughter, and the same three he would take with him into Gethsemane. In a way, they represent the rest of the disciples, and indeed the whole redeemed people of God. Now, which mountain? Traditionally, it is thought to be Mount Tabor in central Galilee. Now, most scholars prefer Mount Hermon, which is higher and also nearer to Caesarea Philippi. But in preparation for this morning, I read a number of different scholars' accounts of this passage and was moved to roars of laughter when I read Tom Wright. He gives the account of his trip to Mount Tabor, the same one Sylvia and I did. The road can only allow a coach to go up half the mountain. And when you're halfway up, you have to get out of the coach and into a fleet of extremely elderly Mercedes taxis. The rest of the route is a series of the most precipitous hairpin bends up to the top of the mountain. And you're driven by charming Arab taxi drivers who talk all the time, are very excitable, and I don't mind when they wave one hand when they're talking, but two? Tom Wright says more prayers are said going up Mount Tabor than anywhere else in the Holy Land. But whatever the actual site, this account of the Transfiguration has such a ring of truth about it. Not least the fact that the disciples had fallen asleep. Jesus had gone to the mountain to find a secluded place to pray. His face begins to shine like the sun, and his clothes become as bright as light itself. His whole being is bathed in glory, and one gospel writer says, as bright as a flash of lightning. Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, appear and speak with Jesus about his departure or exodus. They're talking about the crucifixion, the way in which Jesus will leave this earthly life. And those two, Moses and Elijah, are symbolic of the whole of the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, which all points to Jesus. And this is a turning point in the story of Jesus. From this point on, later in the chapter, we are told Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. Do you remember the time after Jesus' resurrection when he meets with Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus. When they stop for a meal, Jesus opens the scriptures to them, the Old Testament scriptures, and tells them how the whole of the law and the prophets point to him. Now the disciples wake up and they're astounded at what they can see and what they can hear. So amazed are they that dear old impetuous Peter blurts out the crazy suggestion that they should build three tents or tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, as though they're equal. But he's not really stopped to think. You know, if the gospel writers were making up this account or imagining something had happened, surely they wouldn't have included Peter's outburst or the fact that the disciples had just been asleep. It is another clue that this is a real, authentic incident. In his letters, Peter speaks of this experience with the words, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And we're told that Jesus, Moses and Elijah were talking about his departure or exodus, which means to go out, to leave. The book of Exodus records the wonderful experience accomplished for the Israelites when they were slaves in Egypt. The deliverance was accomplished by the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. The sacrifice in Moses' time continued to be a lamb. By the time of Elijah, it was often a bull. Remember the account of Mount Carmel. These were repeated sacrifices. Sacrifices of the lamb, sacrifices of the bull were repeated again and again. But the sacrifice that is to be offered by the Lord Jesus Christ on the hill of Calvary will be the one sacrifice made once for all for the cleansing of sin for all who believe in him and in him alone for salvation. The three speak of this fulfillment as one which would be achieved by Jesus in Jerusalem. And you know, there's a link or parallel between the mountain of Transfiguration and that hill outside Jerusalem. Here on the mountain, Jesus is revealed in glory. There, on that hill, outside Jerusalem, he's revealed in shame. Here his robes are shining white. There soldiers gamble for them. Here he's flanked by Moses and Elijah, two of Israel's greatest prophets. There he's flanked by two brigands, representing the depth to which Israel has sunk in their rebellion against God. Here, a bright cloud overshadows the scene. There, thick darkness covers the earth. Here, Peter is exclaiming how wonderful it all is. There, he's hiding in shame. After denying, he even knows Jesus. Here, the voice of God himself declares that this is his wonderful son. There, it takes a pagan soldier to exclaim in surprise that this is really the Son of God. Perhaps we shall only really understand the mountain and the hill when we hold them side by side. We must learn to see the glory in the cross, and the cross in the glory. At the end of the scene of glory on the mountain, the voice of God says, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." And take hold of that. Listen to him. Listen to him. The words of God to the disciples then are just as much a word to us today. If you want to find the way to God, the way into his kingdom, then it is vital to listen to him. And how do I do that? It's all there. It's all there in our Bibles. It's all there in black and white, written down for us in God's word, the scriptures. How much do you use the scriptures? How much do you listen to God in them? Now, if you find it difficult to sit down by yourself and read through a chunk of scripture, there are help. I've got on my shelf a set of tapes called Faith Comes by Listening. It's the whole of the New Testament, and you can sit, put it in the machine and listen. However, by reading or by listening, God is saying to this morning, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Amen.